thought David was looking around a little bit nervous. It's all right if David wants to speak today. I'm all right with that. So anyway, I was sitting in my abnormal spot. So anyway, no one cares for you like Jesus. And that's very true. He cares for you. I was just thinking, we all come into this room, right? We're all together in one room. But the fact is, we all came from so many different places this week. And in our life, all kinds of situations. And I think one of the things we need to remember is that the Lord Jesus cares for you, and more than anybody else. And so he has something for you. And his word speaks to us through the Spirit. And so we just ask that he'll do what he wants to do in our lives, each of us, through our time together. So let's just ask him to help us. Father, we are thankful that we are loved, we are cared for. Yeah. Some of us have come out of situations that are pretty rugged. It can be a cruel zone in this whole world. But we thank you that we can come to the one who truly cares and wants our best. And so our prayer this morning is that we'll just be in tune with you. The Spirit of God would have sway to do what he wants to do through your word. May we just lean heavy on you and allow you to do your best in each of us. In Christ's name, amen. I have this in my little folder here, and do a little change up so I for later. Years ago, I was in a used bookstore, one of Marty's most unfavorite places for me to go to. But anyway, I was in a used bookstore in downtown Halifax, Nova Scotia. And it's been there years, been a long, long time. It's got all these old books, and at least two stories in this building. And but I know where the section is I was most interested in. If you walk up the stairs and you keep going over to your left, there's a kind of a room, and has all kinds of stuff in it, but has some spiritual stuff. And I was looking through, and I saw this book, and of course you may not have wanted this book, but anyway, it says Expository Dictionary of Bible Words, right? Okay. And I thought, well, that looks like a pretty cool book. And I saw the author, and I know of the author. I've read some of his stuff. And I thought, well, I think that would be a valuable book to get. My wife wasn't there, so I could do this, right? Okay. So I get this book, and I'm kind of excited about it, this find. And I open up the cover, and my heart sank. It has the name of the previous owner. At that time, as a young man, I had known him. As far as I can tell, he's a Christian dude. He was in ministry. We had talked about ministry issues. He was in another province, but I knew him because he had been at the church that we were involved with. My heart sank. I hadn't seen him for several years, but I knew that he walked away from his family and from the Lord. I just kind of wanted to weep. You know, but you look in this and you see the name. But you know, it could be our name. It could be my name. Of someone who's really blown it. None of us are exempt from making huge mistakes. And you know what? I appreciate, and we've talked about it, but Paul, I'm just so thankful he was honest with us, that he struggled too. he was in this battle, and he wasn't always winning. And we come to this passage, and I want to go back to a passage that I hope you say, oh, we've been in that passage. But the important thing is that it gets into our lives, because we need the concepts here to survive, to win, instead of to lose. We don't want to look back on our life and have this, oh man, I can't believe that's the road I took. So let's look at this passage. We go to the end of the back end of Romans 7. And Paul had made this terrible discovery. Quite frankly, sometimes to make progress in life, there has to be pain in life. And this was one of his most painful moments spiritually. If you remember, he was very, very confused about his own life, and he was just frustrated to the hilt. He said, in verse 23 at the back end of that, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. A prisoner. I don't know if you've ever been incarcerated. I hope not. But Paul was, in more ways than one, a prisoner of the law of sin. And then he says this, wretched man that I am. And just think of times, if you ever, you're at a point in your life where you took a look at yourself and you could not believe what you did. You just couldn't believe it. And from your gut, you just desperate. You were just desperate. Say, God. That's where Paul was at. And his gut, wretched man that I am. And he was not playing games. He was not over dramatic. He was just being real. One puts, what could be more wretched than exerting all your energy to live a good life only to discover that the best you do is still not good enough? So he's in despair. And you know what? I don't know if you've been there. Usually we don't tell anybody when we've been there, right? We don't usually tell that. Let me just be so embarrassing. We don't want anybody to know. I'm so thankful Paul was honest and upfront. Because we need to be able to answer, we need to be honest with ourselves. You know, I think a lot of times as Christians, I hope you've come to where you've trusted Christ your Savior, I think a lot of times, though, as Christians, we can play the game. In fact, we feel we have to play the game. I remember I learned years back, because I was raised in a Christian home, thank the Lord, I remember if you're raised in a Christian home, you learn the lingo early on, and you know how to play the game. You know what people want to hear. And you can pretend. You can pretend you're doing great, and you might be rotting out. And then by the time everybody else knows you've been rotting, it's too late. So you know what? This needs to be a place for honesty. So we can be honest with each other because we love one another. Not because we're trying to jerk each other around. Not because we're trying to dump on each other. But because we love each other. And to be, see, I'm struggling. You know, it's like in the AA, you know, the very first thing I understand, they say, I'm an alcoholic, right? Admission. Sometimes in the Christian life, you know, one of the hard things is you read this passage, and I was thinking about another Christian who I don't think has ever faced that passage. Very self-righteous. At least that's the way it was years back. Maybe that's all changed. But felt very superior. They'd be superior to all of us in this room, right? They're very legalistic. Over the top. But you know what? I thought back, I reflected back on that. How much damage they did to other Christians because they felt superior than everybody else. They looked down on everybody else. And for some younger Christians, that just drove them away from the Lord. I hope none of us are in the zone where we feel so superior that this has no relevance to us. Because all of us have a sin thing. Even if you've been saved, you've trusted Christ, your Savior, which is the most important thing in your whole life. But after you've done that, you still have this sin thing that goes with you wherever you go. That's why it sideswipes you sometimes. You can't believe you did what you did, right? Now, Paul is struggling here. And so the thing is, what do we do? Some people have just given up, right? Some people just walk away and never show up again. They've just given up. They've washed their hands of this whole Christian thing. They've just walked away, and you could name several. I can name you easily. I could come up with five right now. We're not going to, right? But people just walk away. But you know what? That's not what God wants. He wants us to face up instead of walk out. He says, wretched man that I am. And then notice, he finally comes and he's asked this question that we all need to ask. Who will set me free? Who will set me free? Do you notice what he says? Who will set me free? He does not say, what must I do to get free? See, a lot of us are into self-improvement. And obviously we want to make advancement in whatever, let's say in work or school or wherever, we want to make improvement. But you know, Paul realized he hit the wall on this thing. He just hit the wall and he realized, you know what? I cannot make the improvement that needs to happen. So he starts looking outside of himself and he says, ooh, there's got to be somebody who can meet my need because I cannot do it. Who? He finally asked the right question. Who will set me free? He's given up on his own resources and he's not looking inward. He's looking upward. Who will set me free? One has said this, God dependence only begins when self-dependence ends. Now I know we're big into self-help. I understand that. And I realize we have responsibility and we need to take steps, you know, to do certain things. I understand that. But if we are just looking to, you know, have a little help of improvement and we're not looking to the Lord, we're going to miss out. You know, we live in a culture, you know, it's all about the person. It's all about us. It's all about me. And we're going to figure it all out. And a lot of times, the person that finally figures it out too late. That they can't get themselves out of this mess. Who will deliver us? Who will set us free from the body of this death? In this body, we're all constrained, right? We're all in your frame. But if I don't get this thing figured out, this body results in death. Now, he's talking as a Christian. We're not talking about... Now, of course, if you've never trusted Christ, the most scary thing in all of life is at the end of this thing, when death comes, you're going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And you will not be non-existent. So that's why we run to Christ. That's why we run to Him as our Savior. And I hope you've run to Him, trusted Him as your Savior. He's the only one that can do it. And He wants to do it because He loves you, right? God so loved the world He gave. He loves you. But for us who are Christians, we run to Him again to get this thing figured out and to be set free from our own slavery to sin. Death for a Christian is not separation from God for eternity, but it can be. It's estrangement from God when we're walking through life. We're separated from enjoyment of His fellowship. You know, I've heard it said in the past, and I think there's some truth to this. A Christian who's not in step with God is one of the most unhappy people on the planet. Why? Because that's not the way God meant life to be lived. We're to live in connection, in fellowship, in the enjoyment of eternal life. If you've trusted Christ, you have eternal life. But you know what? You can live in such a way that you don't enjoy the life that you have. What a ripoff! The most wonderful opportunity to really have life at its best. Not easy, because we live in a broken world, sinful world. Understand that. You know, people think, oh, you know, I'm a Christian, it's going to be easy glide. Not so. Because the world is broken. And we still struggle. And we still ache. But we can ache. Even in our pain, we can ache and draw near to the Lord. You know, it's like when you have a little one. You know, if you have a little child, because we have some wonderful examples of little children. But if, let's say, as they're growing up a little bit and they stumble, and they take a fall, and then what happens? You know, they skid their knee or they bump their nose or whatever. And if you're close and they know you love them, they come over and you can hug them, right? And God wants to hug us. We had our youngest son and his little family went down south, and they just got home yesterday. And so the phone rang, and I answered it, and they were talking to me just a second, and they said, "Where's Grandma?" You know, "Oh, I'm Grandpa." "Okay, we don't need you." But anyway, I said, "Where's Grandma?" And I said, "Oh, she's at work." And all three of them go, "Okay, hang up." No. Why? Because they know their grandma loves them. And so they run, and they know she will hug them, right, when they hurt. God loves us, and he wants to hug us, and he wants us to enjoy fellowship with him. But if we don't draw near to him, we experience what this passage is talking about for the Christian, death for the Christian. That separation, not enjoying the Lord. Desperation. Paul says, "Man, what do I do?" Then he comes to exasperation. And then he breaks through to exaltation. Notice, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Victory is found only. Now, this is the hard part. It's found only, and I'm quoting, through the realization of defeat. That's why I think it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves. First of all, with ourselves, and then with the Lord. And hopefully you have some good friends you can be honest with. I mean, you don't have to spill your guts to everybody, but you need Christian friends who will listen to you and care about you. And when you fail, you can say, "Help me, I'm failing." And you run to them. But most importantly, we run to the Lord. And when we realize Paul, he's been struggling, he's desperate. And he breaks through. He has his major breakthrough in life. Thanks be to God. Because the answer is found in the Lord, not in ourselves. You know, if you're desperate and you're struggling and you're just about to write the whole Christian thing off, let me say, thanks be to God. He's got an answer for us, for you. He loves you. But we've got to be honest. Thanks be to God. Remember the little chorus, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul"? It's not a bad little chorus to sing. You know, every once in a while just break out and, you know, "Thank you, Lord." I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll sing this together. You don't even have to stand up, okay? But if you don't sing, you will have to stand up, okay? Okay, so, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free." Now, let's just think about it. We usually think, great salvation, awesome, my sins are forgiven, wonderful, gets me into heaven, amazing. But you know what? So great salvation does not stop just at forgiven sins. It breaks through to living life at its best. Salvation, you know, Romans is all about the big picture of salvation, not just initial justification, but the whole process of making progress. And so we say, "God, thank you for..." And Paul said, you know, if he knew our chorus, he'd have sung along, right? "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole." And this passage is talking about how we can grow to be more and more vibrant and healthy and whole. Notice Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ultimate salvation in any facet is ultimately wrapped up and found in Him. A previous passage, we've already dealt with it, but it just highlights this point. In Romans 6:11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. You're not going to get anything of eternal value apart from Him. It's all wrapped up in Him. He's the center of everything. Because we're in Him, we've said this so many times, but if I feel like it can just water off a duck's back. People have died of drug overdoses just in this year in our province. And it is upped so much from what it was even last year. And I'm thinking, oh God. But for the person who's struggling, you ask the question, is there any hope? I mean, addiction is a terrible thing. It's a powerful thing. Let me say, the hope is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing His provision, not just for initial salvation, but for the provision of breaking free for the rest of my life throughout all the other pulls and struggles and strains. God loves you so much. He can give you the provision to break free. Now, you know what? It may not be drugs. And that's where we get back to this thing about, being a goody two-shoes Christian. Sometimes, you know what? It's not drugs. It might be gossip. It might be unforgiving of other people. You know, there are some people that are so bitter toward other people. They have never let go of whatever happened 25 years ago. You know what? That's sin. But the thing is, we're not pointing at that person. You know what? What's pointing back at me? What is my struggle? Thanks be to God, I don't have to stay stuck. Because of the Lord Jesus, I can live free. The life which I now live, and this is in Galatians 2, the life which I now live, I live by faith, and I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. We can learn to live free. One writes, we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. That's the point we got to get. We can only live it in the strength of the Son of God. That is the hardest lesson for us to get. I mean, to really get. To learn to live dependent instead of independent of the Lord. We wake up. The normal way for us to live is I'm going to pull up by my bootstraps. If I had boots, I'd pull them up, right? Pull up by my bootstraps. God says, you know what? It's not going to work. You just keep trying. We just keep at it. We keep at it. But you know what? When we put that foot out of the bed, the first thing in the morning, you know what? We can't do this day on our own strength. We can't. I mean, I know we can get through it. I know we can pretend. I know, we may make a good sale. We may get a good grade in our class, in our test, all that. Yeah, I understand that. But to really live life at its best, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because when you step out, if you just step out and you are on your own, you are truly alone. But the Lord Jesus wants to, when you step out, He wants you to know, I'm with you, and we're confident He's with us, and we're stepping out in His strength, not our own. An old writer put it this way. Actually, John Newton, the one who was a slave trader, right? Sold slaves. He came to Christ, and he learned this lesson. By various maxims, forms, and rules that pass for wisdom in our schools, I sought my passions to restrain, but all my efforts proved in vain. But since my Savior I have known, my rules are all reduced to one. To keep my Lord by faith in view, this strength supplies and motive too. You know what? If John Newton could learn the lesson, I think we can too. And we need to learn the lesson. You may not be a slave trader, but we need to learn the lesson to keep our focus on the Lord. When I start my day, when I go through my week, when I live out this year, He's my resource. Thank God I don't have to go on my own. And then he somewhat wraps up what he's already been saying. Notice in the last part of Romans 7:25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, and he's wrapping up what he said earlier, so then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. Now, because he's a Christian, because he's writing as a Christian, in his mind, because he has this new capacity, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you have this old flesh, but you have this new capacity. You're a new creation. Something amazing has happened to you. It's amazing. God knows fully what it is. But he calls us a new creation, brand new, brand spanking new. Isn't it exciting when you get something new, right? You think, oh man, this is so exciting. And then it starts rusting on you, you know? But this doesn't rust. You have your new creation, and it gives us new desires. That's why after you come to Christ, you know, you want to do it differently. You don't want to just go back into the muck and the mud. So you want to do the right thing. And Paul says, you know, I have this thing, with my mind, I have this desire to serve in the law of God. What God wants me to do, God's will, he really, really wants to do it. But... Oh, shucks. But with my flesh, that old nature within us, dominated by sin, it still remains in each of us. One writes, conversion neither improves nor removes the sinful flesh. And I've said it many times, but it's like you have a rattlesnake living in your heart. We have this thing. I don't know if you've ever been around rattlesnakes, but they... When they're quiet, they're really dangerous because you don't know where they are. I think that's why God gave them a little rattler on the back. Danger, 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 right? I remember several times, you know, you have a rattler, and boy, when they were coiled and their little tail was a-flipping, you better watch out because if you get close to that, you're going to be going to the hospital if you have a ride. We all have this rattlesnake with it. That flesh, it just... Now, the thing is, sometimes a rattlesnake goes to sleep. Doesn't look like a dangerous thing. Especially you get the sun on an old rattler, and he just loves the warm, just like you do. You get it warm, you know, you get warm, and you go off to sleep. You think, oh, no rattlesnake. We're safe. No problem. Until you wake it up. Then it starts rattling, and you better start running. Right? We've got a rattlesnake within. So, Paul says, you know, I just want to do the right thing. I want to get it right. I want to honor the Lord with my life. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to keep going back to the old way. But notice what he said earlier, and this is, he says he was a prisoner of the law of sin, sold into the bondage to sin, he said in verse 14. Oh, the pits of facing this struggle, but it has to be faced. Now, I think the question I want you to think about is, when you start your day, when you step out, who are you dependent on? Who are you counting on? I'm always talking about grandkids, and one of our granddaughters. Early on, I mean, you, whatever type, she's clearly that type, right? She said, whatever it is, I'll do it myself, right? I do it myself. Whatever we're doing, I'll do it myself, right? You know what? Going downstairs by yourself when you're just a little dinky dude may not always be the best way to live life, unless you want to get down there really fast, right? And so I do it myself. How many of us, you know, doing it ourselves in our pictorial expressions or at the bottom of the staircase because we tried to do it ourselves? But you know what I've noticed more recently? We'll be going down the stairs, and there's one part of our house where there's no railing, and so she'll take my hand. It's so humbling for her, right? She decided I'm not going to do it always by myself. You know, she decided to take my hand. How many of us have decided to take the Lord's hand? Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for making me whole. Thank you, God, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I hope when we walk out the door, we remember we don't have to walk out alone. We don't have to go into a scary world all by ourselves, because he is with us. No matter what you struggle with, and we'll deal more with this, we break into Romans 8, more of his provision, how it actually works. But I just want you to know when you leave here today, you can take his hand. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. God, maybe we have been trying to make life, even as a Christian, we've been trying to make life work. But really, we've just been trying to pull it up by our own bootstraps. And we're not doing so hot. Maybe even yesterday we lost our temper. Maybe we said something we shouldn't have said. Maybe we went somewhere we shouldn't have gone. Maybe we were on the computer where we should not have seen. God, we're struggling. God, help us realize we can't do this by ourselves. But help us be thankful because we have the solution in our Savior. May we not try to be self-sufficient. May we be dependent upon the one who makes it all possible to live life at its best. In his amazing, glorious name, amen.